talked about blessed assurance in the afternoon. Then in the evening, we talked about the priority of the spirit and tongues. That was fireful, right? Today, I want to talk about something I've called the gospel in the ascension. Or in a summarized way, I'll put it like this. Ascended Messiah. Are you with me? So, should we study the gospel in the ascension of Christ? Because you see, I discovered that many people know about the death of Christ. They know about the burial of Christ. That's if they know. And some know about the resurrection of Christ. And when I'm talking about they know about, I'm talking about the fact that they know about the gospel in his resurrection. We can know that, oh, Christ died for my sins, but why was he buried? Do you know there is a gospel in his burial? And we talked about that before. And the gospel in his burial was that in his burial, he descended into the lower parts of the earth and went to hell for us. So the born-again child of God, the genuinely saved child of God, we will not go to hell. Are you with me? Because someone has gone to hell for you. He has taken your place in hell. I don't have time to explain all of that, but we explained it in the previous teachings. And then there is a gospel in the fact that he rose. But I don't think many people are well acquainted in the fact that he ascended. Are you with me? Say after me, he ascended. Glory! So why should we study the gospel in the ascension of Christ? Number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ is incomplete without his ascension. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 18 to 20. Bear with me, I may be a little slow today. I need strength. Amen. Ephesians 1 from verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, verse 19, to us what who believe. So he was praying for the Ephesian church that their eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that they will know what's the hope of his calling, what's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's something to see. The inheritance of God is in the saints. That's verse 18. Praise the Lord. So Paul is praying for them that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they will know what is the hope of his calling. What does he mean by the hope of his calling? The hope of his calling is what was in God's mind when he called you into Christ. Are you following me? When God was creating the whole subject of redemption and saving your sins and bringing you to be his own, what was his hope? What did he hope? For instance, when a guy likes a girl and is beginning to text her and is trying to woo her and is chasing her everywhere and sending her messages, there ought to be a hope that she will eventually say yes to his marriage proposal. Are you with me? The hope of his calling is that she will say yes. Praise the Lord. People like love too much. Okay, makes sense, Abby. The hope of his texting was that eventually she will become my wife. If you see a guy that is calling and texting without any hope, so, no, you should not, when you say, what are we? You should not be saying, what do you mean, what are we? No, what are we? Brothers, be yourself, be straight to the point. You like him. Do you like her? Tell her straight, I like you. My wife is here. Before I even started asking her out, I just went and said, excuse me, madam, I want to marry you. She said, what do you mean by that? I said, I like you, I want to marry you. She said, I will think about it. Later, she said, is that how to ask somebody else? I said, well, I don't like to waste time. I'll tell you straight. Don't do like that to him. It may not work for you. Praise the Lord. He says he was praying for the Ephesian church that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they will know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So there is a riches of the glory of God which has been packaged as an inheritance inside you. And Paul was praying for the Ephesian church that you also know this. Then he goes on in verse 19. In verse 19, he says that you will also know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. So there is a power for us who believe. Are you with me? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of God, at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, are you seeing that he did not just stop at and raised him from the dead? He also said and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing the way he's adding that risen from the dead and set him at his right hand? That means the ascension is part of the message. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. From verse 1, it says, and you are quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then jump to verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Say after me, he loved me with great love. God loves me with great love. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we are dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. Glory! By grace ye are saved. Verse 6. And had made us, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Say after me, I'm seated with him. Are you noticing again? He doesn't skip that part. He talks about the fact that you are seated with him. That means you're sitting with him in heavenly places is part and parcel of the message. Praise the Lord. The second reason why we should study about the ascension is that the messianic prophecies pointed to the ascension of Christ as the apex of Christ's work. They pointed to the ascension of Christ as the finality or the highest part of Christ's work. Psalm 68 from verse 18 to 20. I know there are some of the things you'll be hearing me say, or you may be hearing a new breed that you may be hearing for the first time. It's not us trying to sound unique. We're not trying to sound different. We're not trying to bring our own specialized rhema. We are just trying to present to you the same gospel that Jesus taught his apostles and the apostles taught the early church. Are you with me? We understand that we are living in a time where there are so many shades and different styles of Christianity, but there is the Bible way. Are you with me? Everybody read Psalm 68 verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily let us with benefits. If, glory! Learn to shout glory. Glory! Even the God of our salvation. Verse 20. And unto God, glory. Remember when I was saying somebody being raised from the dead was by the mercy of God, right? This is one of the reasons. So, of all the things, miracles that God can anoint a man to do, when it comes to raising the dead, it will still be by the approval of the Lord. I've seen it only twice in my life. But on those twice, I thank God for it. Amen. Ephesians 4 verse 8 to 9. You will see something now. Now, if you read this verse in book of Psalms, you may not think he was talking about Jesus. Are you following me? If you just read it randomly, your mind may not think he's talking about Christ. But that's why there is an Old Testament and there is a New Testament. The New Testament explains the Old Testament. So go to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Are you seeing that he's quoting it verbatim? Are you seeing this? Now, everybody read Ephesians 4 from verse 8 to 9. Do you see that? So, this was how we knew that Jesus went to hell. He descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Ah, God, help me. I can teach the Bible for 24 hours. That lower parts of the earth is another teaching. Because hell has different compartments. Hell has different compartments. Or it used to have, and I still believe it has, at least from the scripture. If I told you that Abraham's bosom was in hell, will you believe me? Abraham's bosom was in the lower parts of the earth. And we are going to find out shortly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You also see Psalm 110. Well, before we go to Psalm 110, there's something you should not miss in Ephesians 4 verse 8. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Read it again. Shout glory. Glory! Already, he's telling you in his ascension, the spirit of captivity became a captive. That means anything that is causing captivity already to you has been a prisoner before it came to you. This is part of the gospel of Christ. The devil knows that he's a prisoner. All the demons, all of that, they know. That's why If there's anything the devil is going to do in your life, if he cannot stop you from finding Christ or from knowing Christ, he will try his best to stop you from growing spiritually. We're casting out a demon one day, and the demon said, if not because of Jesus. That's what the demon said. If not because of Jesus, me and you no be mate. If not, of course, because of Jesus, come out! Out! Get out of this place. You are a captive. The Bible says he led captivity captive. Say after me, he led captivity captive. Say it after me, captivity is captive. And in the name of Jesus, whatever is trying to cause captivity in my life, out in the name of Jesus. He led captivity captive. Now look at Psalm 110 from verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Then in verse 2, he says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. This was talking about Christ too. In fact, this verse is saying so much at once. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That means since Christ has sat and sat on the right hand of God, God has one business, making his enemies his footstool. Satan has no place, so I'm telling you. And then he says, to achieve that, he will send the rod of strength out of Zion. Can you connect the dot to the fact that after Christ ascended on high, the Holy Ghost came? The Holy Ghost is the rod of strength that was sent out of Zion after Christ sat at the right hand of God. Are you following me? What we are doing is Bible study. It may be boring to you, but please don't be bored. So for the prophets to speak about it, then it was good news. Finally, why must we study the gospel in his ascension? I'm not ending the sermon. Well, yeah, finally. You know the end like that. You know now. It is because the gospel in Christ's ascension helps us see the present ministry of Jesus. How many of you have thought about this? Okay, Christ died. Christ was buried. He rose up from the grave and went to heaven. What is he doing now? Or he's just chilling with some Holy Ghost champagne and say, angels, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, master, there is a bomb blast in Iran. He said, he consigned me. Is that what he's doing? No. There is what he is doing right now. The present ministry of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That takes you to the next thing. I call it the glory of his ascension. John, please make that glory louder. John 3 verse 13. John 3 verse 13. This is one of the most controversial verses of the Bible. For many reasons. Everybody read this verse. You see this Bible there? Study to read this Bible. I love the Bible. First of all, there are people that say that Jesus is not God. I have a whole series for them. But look at the way he was speaking. Is he a normal person that talks like this? He said, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Sir, where are you? Are you on earth or are you in heaven? He said, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He didn't say, even the Son of Man, which was in heaven. So Nicodemus, I am talking to you here, but I am seated up there. I know he didn't see it. Then the second thing that is striking here, he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. That means, where did Abraham go? Where was Abraham's bosom? Are you following me? Where did all those people, Moses, where did they go? All those people. And no man had ascended up. Then let's go to the big one. Where did Elijah go? No man had ascended up to heaven. You know, many times people say things, I don't even know the biblical implication. Do you know what it means when you say Elijah went to heaven, or Enoch went to heaven, or anybody went to heaven? It means that you do not need salvation to go to heaven. That's the implication. If a man can go to heaven without Christ's work of salvation, we don't need Christ's work of salvation. So Jesus came to help you understand, to clear your doubt. He said, no man has gone there, nobody, except the Son of Man which came down. But I came down, but I'm there. Those guys go. They went to hell. But because they served the Lord, and because they were connected to God, they went to the good side of hell. That side was called Abraham's bosom. That was where Abraham was when he saw the rich man on the other part of torment. Do you remember Luke chapter 16? Of course, our time, I can't open it. See, we already have a long script. God will help me finish. That was why
Abraham and the rich man could talk. Have you ever thought about it? How can the Bible say we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and then the Bible is saying that the rich man was speaking to Abraham? It was because they were in the same place, but on different departments. So, even though the Old Testament saints served God, they could not go to heaven because Christ was going to be the one to make them perfect. So they went to a waiting place called Abraham's bosom, as it were, the good side of hell. So, but the rich man was in the place of torment. And that's why the rich man said to him in Luke chapter 16, you can help me search it out. He said, even though you are asking me to give you a drop of water, I cannot, because there is a great gulf fixed between me and you. Are you with me? So I can see you. I can see your pain. You want water, but I cannot give it to you. Let me tell you something. See, there are things deeper than this place. So, this world. See, the earlier you get born again and find your place in Christ, and secure your eternity and walk with God and enjoy the best of Him on this earth for you and eternity, the better for you. Because don't wait to die and know what eternity looks like. I've seen a glimpse of it. You see, who has watched Doctor Strange? You see, those people, they are trying to capture what they are picking about the unseen realm. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. My father and the Lord, many years ago, when the university, 2014, when the university together, I was in 100 level, he was in 500 level, and he was casting out the demon, and the demon was telling us, he said, let Christ rapture the church first. Let all of you go. The ones that remain, I will eat their flesh. Yeah? The demons was talking, they were telling us. He said, all of you that are saved, go first. The ones that are remaining, we will settle well. He said, we will tear your flesh. He talked and talked. The Bible said, shut up. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. They would tear their flesh. It was there. I knew that, you see this word, fuck you, is a demonic language. Because that's what the demon was saying. He said, all of you, in church, you cannot even pray. Prayer. He said, you don't even know what you have. You don't know what you have. And while we are casting the mother, the demon cried to God. He said, why do you love them? Why? They're not even serious. They don't deserve it. He said, yes, you don't deserve it, but it's grace. Why do you love them? See, they will be in the presence of angels and cannot worship. See, then the demon said, you piss the fuck off me. That's what the demon said. So all of you, said, you humans that are not serious with God, you piss the fuck off me. He says there is a great gulf. So they all went there and they were waiting for the actual Messiah. So this was why, among the other reasons why he went to hell, first of all, to take our place, but to announce to them your redemption has come. That's why if you read Psalm 68 in other translations, Psalm 68 from verse 19 that we read the other time, it reads something like, he led a crowd of captives. So who are those crowd of captives? It is the saints who believed in God in the past and went there waiting for Christ to come. So as we in the future were waiting for Christ, they in the past were waiting for Christ. So Christ's work of salvation was eternal, both for the past, the present, and the future. So everyone that served God in the past, they had a promissory note of salvation. But when Christ appeared, they received it in the fullness. Praise the Lord. I know some of you don't need what I'm saying, but I know that there are some of you who are hungry for the word of God, and part of my job is to feed you. Are you with me? You know what? Let me just go on. Even though there's still an argument about Enoch if he died. But one thing we are sure is Enoch did not go to heaven. And he went to heaven eventually after Christ made that way. Are you with me? So it was Christ that made the way to the Father. Anyone who will enter heaven as a man, you will enter it because Christ made that way for you. Are you with me? So let me jump all of that. Another thing I want to talk about quickly is what I call the two ascensions. I just heard somebody's thoughts. Say, Pastor, you prepare like this. All this one for us. Yes. By the grace of God, I don't want our people to be shallow in the word of God. Do you know there are many false religions that know what they are saying more than Christians?
or more than an average churchgoer.
Meet a six-year-old boy in Jehovah's Witness. He may convince you.
Now, you know what I'm saying?
So you need to know your stuff, especially because we have the truth. You know, somebody did something recently that made me laugh. The person went to AI and asked, which religion is the most verifiable? You know, ChatGPT. And he said, which religion is the most verifiable with proofs in the past, the present, the future, with archaeological? They said Christianity. AI even knows.
Should I look at this? Let's just go straight.
So quickly, John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, or can we read it together so that you will not sleep? I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Glory! To my God and your God. Praise the Lord. So now, but you realize that there was another time after Christ resurrected, he was touching everybody. He came and said, touch my side. What happened? There were two ascensions. The first one is what we are seeing here. And to understand this, you have to look at the pattern in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when the Day of Atonement came, they would kill a lamb that is 1 year old. And the priest would take the blood of this lamb into the Holy of Holies and offer that blood on the mercy seat for the people. And when he had successfully offered that blood, it meant that for the next 1 year, their sins have been covered. Are you with me? And that means God has perfected them for the next 1 year. It meant that for the next 1 year, all their wars, they will win. All their battles, they will conquer. Their harvest will multiply. Are you with me? Yes, for the next 1 year. Because according to that pattern, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the blood offered, or a spotless lamb that was offered, covers them for 1 year. That was the same thing happening in redemption. Now, how old was the blood of Christ? Because Christ is the new Lamb of God. How old was his blood? If it's God in the flesh, that blood is an eternal blood, right? So when that blood was offered, hallelujah. So when that blood was offered by the priest in the Old Testament, he will come out and declare to them, celebrate. Then they will start celebrating Yeshua, praising his name and all of that. And he will be sprinkling up on them and saying, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. So after the blood of Christ, after the blood of the Lamb has been offered, he comes out and gives them gifts and gives them blessings. This is the same thing that happened. Christ went in as the new lamb, or the original lamb, praise the Lord, offered his blood and came out and gave the Holy Ghost. Do you get that? That was the first ascension. But then he came, had a time with the disciples, had a time with them. The Bible says he taught them for 40 days and went up. Look at Hebrews 9 verse 24. Hebrews 9 verse 24, the Bible says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Praise the Lord. So now, the book of Hebrews is trying to tell us that the priesthood of Christ is different from the priesthood in the Old Testament or the Jewish customs and laws. But Christ did not go into those places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Say amen. You see the second ascension in Acts chapter 1 from verse 9. It says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So quickly, what is the good news in Christ's ascension? Number one, our sins have been purged at the justice system of God. Our sins have been purged at the mercy seat of God. That means we have been declared perfect. As it were, it seemed like after Adam sinned, there was some dark, how will I put it now? Let me try something. Who has watched this film, Clash of the Titans? It's an old film. Who watched that film? Let me see your hand. An old film. While human beings were doing their stuff down there, God in that film, that would be Zeus, shift. What they say is Zeus, and God and his people were up there. And while men are doing their stuff down on earth, in God's table, he could see their frailty. He could see their failures. He could see their sins. It's as though his sins were shouting there. Are you with me? In the same way, you know, I don't watch film for the sake of watch. If I watch a film and it does not have any doctrinal or eternal value, I skick you away.
That's why I like Marvel and all of those things. It helps me pictures of the things I studied in the Bible. But as it were, it was like, after Adam sinned at the throne room of God, every time God wanted to move to help men, or move to bless men, or move to bring man into a new level of blessings and all of that, a stumbling block could be seen. Are you with me? It seemed like sin was just there, stopping him from relating with man the way he wants to relate with man. So he loves man, but you see, as the just God as he is, he cannot overrule this thing that is in front of him. Are you getting me? Let me give an example to make you get what I'm trying to say. Have you gone to the bank and you want to do a transaction and they're telling you that your account is blocked? Have you ever done that kind of thing before? And you don't understand what they're saying. Like, what do you mean the account is blocked? Caterpillar blocked the road for the account. Like, the truck spoiled there. What do you mean my account is blocked? They're telling you that there's a restriction on the account. You are not seeing it, but on their dashboard, they are seeing some that will not allow them to make a transaction work. In the same way, sin for you may be an action, but in the spirit, it was more than that. It was a state that was stopping man from being all that God had planned for him to be. And God had to deal with it there. Are you with me? Yes. You know, I think the reason why many people don't really study the gospel of ascension is that most of it are spiritual matters. They are spiritual things. And so Hebrews 1 verse 3 shows us something. It says, Hebrews 1 verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Said to me, my sins have been purged. My sins have been purged. That means after this time, sin will never be an issue between man and God.
Hey.
The only reason why the devil wanted us to sin so that we will have an issue with God. The reason why the devil can prevail in your family and all of that is because of sin. He knows that men outside the will of God, they are vulnerable to his attack. Are you with me? But from this time henceforth, once you call on the name of Jesus, God remembers that there is no issue. Satan has to get out. I'm telling you. That's why the Bible even said it in prophecy. Even the lawful captive shall be delivered. Even people who actually for what they did are supposed to suffer. Because God has purged the sins of man at his table, God, Satan has no rights. Yes. That's why we can break the national curses. Oh, your father's eating sour grapes. Oh, my father did this. And that's why all of us in our family, our life is just K. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our parents did something, and that thing is affecting all of us in the family line. It can be broken. Are you with me? Because even if they did something, in God's table, there is nothing there. Your sins have been purged. Saturday, my sins have been purged. My sins have been purged. Hebrews 10 verse 11 to 14. The Bible says, every high priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, this same man, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Everybody read verse 14 now. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who are the sanctified? Those that have believed in him. What does it mean to be sanctified? To be called out. So everyone who has been called out by believing in him, because of that one offering, God calls you perfect. You are looking at yourself. You are looking at your life. Oh, I'm not where I ought to be. God calls you perfect. So after me, God calls me perfect. To God's mind, as long as sin has been dealt with, every other thing is a small thing. So after me, every other thing is a small thing. My sins have been paid for. My sins have been purged. Glory! So you see the Bible now say in Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Number two, in his ascension, he began his priestly ministry over us. Can you say it after me? In Christ's ascension, he began his priestly ministry over us. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Let us hold fast the profession. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. How do you feel if you have a relative that gets a government appointment? Maybe one of your brothers, your siblings, your older brother or your younger brother was made a senator. Appointed a minister. Before you, some of you don't even know the road to Asovila. Now he will tell you, I have a meeting with the president. Can you come and just wait for me? He'll be bouncing everywhere and say, I'm going to Asovila. Where are you going to? I'm going to Asovila.
You will get there, the people don't want to stop you. Say, and so person sent from me. Say, are you serious? Pass. Why do you have that boldness? You have a brother that went into the government house. Are you with me? Now he's telling you that we have a high priest that is now a man like you. That is passed into the heavens. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. After me, I have a high priest. Now, your brother being a minister in the government house or in Aso Villa may not mean he's talking about you there. He's just doing his job. And you have so much boldness. But this high priest is for you. The high priest goes there and his job there is to ensure that everything that concerns you has been taken care of at the throne of God. Do you know what that means? Maybe you are here looking at yourself like, oh, I'm just a normal person. I'm just a normal girl trying to find my way. You know, life is just giving me basbos. No, you have a high priest that has gone there for you. He's monitoring your life. Many of you have had this experience before where you were in a tight corner and you were thinking, nobody can help me. There's nobody that can work anything out for me. I'm just here. My life is just what it is. Then somehow, some way, somebody you did not think about, somebody you did not know about, arranged something, and before you know, you are helped. And from that time to today, you cannot even explain what happened. That's one of God's ways to remind you that somebody is watching over you. There is a high priest. After me, there is a high priest over me. Many of you would have died. You know accidents that would have happened, and just at a sneak moment, something just happened and you were rescued. What happened? Your high priest was saying, no, it cannot happen. No, this cannot happen now. Are you with me? How will you live your life if you know that there was somebody in the highest of places on the universe? The highest of places in the universe fighting for you. In Nigeria, when people submit their contract, they will say, please, do you have a friend that works in Aso Villa that can help me push this paper? That can help me push this paper to meet the president. That can help me push this paper to meet this person that will approve it. But you have Jesus pushing your paper. Sometimes I have a high priest. Don't sleep. Hey, tell your neighbor, don't sleep. You have a high priest. I'm not shouting plenty because let me gather the strength. There is in Lagos, Port Harcourt and Island Camp. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7 verse 22. I'm leaving out some details. Other special teachings I will cover them. Hebrews 7 verse 22. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. I can't get over the fact that there is somebody in heaven fighting for me. There is somebody in heaven pushing my paper. There is somebody in heaven thinking about me. I have a high priest. I have a high priest. There are many of you, it is this priestly ministry of Jesus that brought you to New Breed. You were somewhere saying, "Kai, my spiritual life, I need help. Where am I spiritually? What will my future look like? Why am I struggling spiritually?" And the high priest said, "Okay, you know what we'll do? I will arrange a ministry to go and meet him there." You are there thinking. That's why when God is leading you, listen to God. You are there thinking, how will I make it? What job will I do? Who will I marry? Where will I get this open door? When God is leading you, listen, because your high priest has arranged it already. Before he's giving you that leading, he has done some connections. I wish I can tell you some stories. Where you just walk in somewhere, say, how come that you were there at the right time? When your high priest is arranging things for you, you will discover that everything's just lining up. Everything you need, you just be at the right place at the right time. Except that may have a high priest. Hebrews 7 verse 22 says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Verse 23. And there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So the reason why there were so many priests in the Old Testament, so many high priests coming and going, was because no matter how long this one's serves, after a while he will grow old and die. Are you with me? He says, and there truly were many priests. Go back to verse 23. And there truly were many priests, because they were not allowed to continue, or they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So if you had a high priest working on your matter in the Old Testament, and then you were close to this high priest, you and this high priest had a rapport, because you knew this high priest, you could easily come to the temple every day and talk to him about your issues, and he will counsel you. You and him have started having a bond. But after a while, that one will die.
a new high priest will come, you will start trying to bond again. He will start trying to work on your case again. If he does not like you, he can tell you to shift. Are you following me? Verse 24.
But this man, say after me, but this man, because he continued forever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Hey, God. Because he continued forever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Because he continued forever, had an unchangeable priesthood. That means when he starts a project, he cannot stop halfway.
Ah, my God. Are you putting this service today?
When he starts a matter, it will not stop.
You see, that's why some people, they will encounter God when they are young. As they are growing, they will lose their way. But somehow, because God started that matter with them, there is a priest over their file. No matter how much they lose their way, no matter how many mistakes they make, no matter how many times they say, oh, I'm confused, maybe God has given up on me. He cannot give up. This priest does not die. Are you with me? That's why even if a family, the person that God wanted to do something great to that family dies, because the high priest that is over them has not died, it will still go to another generation. You will see families, can I say this? No two people are the same. Never compare yourself with somebody else. You are not the same with another person. Two children, one 17, they may not be the same people. Don't ever say, I have a class, see my classmates, see what they are doing in life, see where they have gone, see what they have achieved. No. Your own case is different. Your own file is different. Praise the Lord. So if you're asking yourself, why did I come from this family? This is my family. Said everything. Don't worry. Are you connected to the high priest? He has an unchangeable priesthood, so he will sort everything out. I'm telling you. So he says, but this man, because he continued forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25. He says, wherefore? Because he has an unchangeable priesthood, he is able to say to the uttermost. Wherefore, he is able to say to the uttermost, them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Say after me, he's making intercession for me. He's making intercession for me. Like I was saying yesterday, when you are struggling with sin, God does not look at you and say, Michael, come, see this one that we died for. Come. Just look at this buffoon of a human being. Some of you think that's how God looks at you. Some of you look at yourself like that. You plan to do this, you sleep off. You plan to do this, you sleep off. You plan to do that, you sleep off. You don't say, what kind of useless human being? God does not, he does not look at you like that. He does not look at you and say, you are so useless. Mm-mm-mm. So when it looks like you are being weak, when it looks like you are being weary, when it looks like you want to give up, he begins to pray for you. He begins to pray for you. That's why when you in school, you remember. There was test coming. You forgot to read. You slept off. 3 o'clock, you woke up. What happened? The high priest woke you. He cared about everything in your life. He was looking at your life and said, if the way this guy is going, you will cast. Let's help his life. Let's help him. The high priest was looking at your life and saying, this boy you are dating, we will finish you. He will finish you. Then one day, he will knock his or go one place. They go and break up. Are you with me? Yes, sir. I believe in my high priest. Say it again. I believe in my high priest. Glory. So number one, our sins are purged. Number two, he began his priestly ministry over us. For me, that's one of the best for me. He began his priestly ministry over us. Number three, because he ascended, we received the Holy Spirit. Remember John chapter 7 from verse 37 to 39. John 7 from verse 37 to 39. The Bible says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Like we've been drinking in this camp. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That glorification is actually what we refer to as the ascension. It is in its glorification that the Holy Spirit was given. Look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. So when people began to ask Jesus, the apostles, and to explain the whole speaking in tongues that was going on. This is what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 from verse 32 to 34. Or to 35 or 36. Let's start with 32. He says, 1, 2, 3, go everybody. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Everybody read verse 33.
He said, therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed for this. So this Holy Ghost that you are seeing right now is because he has been exalted. You know, that already puts speaking in tongues on a different level. No other gift points to the ascension of Christ as direct as speaking in tongues. Because the day Christ was exalted, there was a text message sent from heaven to the earth. Are you with me? What happened on the day of Pentecost was God telling the earth, or heaven telling the earth, that Christ has been exalted. So every time you pray in tongues, you are saying he has been exalted. As you pray in tongues, the demons remember what happened that day. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 11 to 15. Okay, before Hebrews 10, can we look at Psalm 110 again, just quickly? From verse 1 to 2. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send, everybody wants to go, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. This sort of strength out of Zion was what came out after he sat down. So that means the Holy Ghost with us is the rod of strength with us. Whenever it looks like the devil and his demons are walking around you, bring out your rod. Whenever you pray in tongues, you are invoking the rod of strength that came from Zion to rule in the midst of your enemies. Hebrews 10 verse 11 to 15. The Bible says, and every high priest standeth daily, ministering and offering high priest, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, certainly but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, everybody read verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. It says, wherefore the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. So, the Holy Ghost with us is a witness. Can we put verse 14 and verse 15 together? So, it says, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. So that means the Holy Ghost with us is proof that we have been perfected at the sight of God. Are you with me? In the same way, in the Old Testament, the high priest coming out of the Holy of Holies and sprinkling blessings upon the people was proof that what he did inside had been accomplished. You know, some of you may not really get the full picture, except to have some history. There were some high priests that entered and died there. You know, in those days, you couldn't be a fake man of God. If you were a sinner and you were a high priest, everybody will know. As you enter like this, the person will die there. In fact, how they used to know that the high priest is alive is that they put bells. If you have seen all these drawings of Aaron and the high priest in those days, they call it pomegranates. They put bells and stones so that they are making noise to tell you that he's still breathing. But once he's not hearing the bell, they will use a rope. They connect a rope to his waist. As it's going in, somebody is releasing the rope. Once you stop hearing the noise, you use the rope and drag him out. Although, that already revealed to us the holiness and the judgment of God. That's what Christ came and opened for us. The Bible says the veil tore from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, so it was not a man. It was from top to bottom, signifying that God said, I want to come out. And so that veil was opened for us to enter because of the blood of Christ. And now we can come in boldly. The Holy Ghost given to us is proof that what he did for us was perfected. In his ascension, we received authority over all things. We received authority over all things. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 8 to 10. Philippians 2 from verse 8 to 10. It says, and being found in fashion, please, can we read it? 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, we are living in a generation that they are very cerebral. Someone say, the Bible is wrong. How can it say that every tongue should confess? You see, everybody that believes in Jesus, everybody is a believer. The problem is just, when will you believe? Everybody believes. Some will believe after in their great beyond. Everybody will believe. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. What gives you the right to use that name? It is because you are now in him. So you are named after his name. Do you remember the apostles? They got to the beautiful gate, having an ugly thing. There was somebody who could not walk at the beautiful gate. And the apostles got there and said, silver and gold we have none, but such as we have in the name of Jesus. Believers, we must come to the consciousness that we have the name of Jesus. Part of the problem is that we are familiar with it. We call Jesus for cockroach when you have shoe. Everything, Jesus! So, when you are calling it, you at the point like, hey, Jesus, I don't have cash. No, you have Jesus. He says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. So, whatever it is, as long as it can be named, there is a name above it. Whether it's arthritis, whether it's barrenness, whether it's scarcity. Are you with me? That are the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Jump on your feet. Say to me, I have the name of Jesus. Say it again, I have the name of Jesus. I have the name of Jesus. I cannot be stranded. I have the name of Jesus. And everything possible with the name of Jesus is made available to me. Paul Pastor, I've been calling that name. And I don't know if this name of Jesus is working. Back to our story in Acts chapter 3. Back to our story in Acts chapter 3. When they prayed for the man at the beautiful gate and he got healed. This is what the apostle said. Acts chapter 3 from verse 15. Acts chapter 3 from verse 15. Verse 12. The Bible says, and when Peter saw it, so people came around wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 15 then says, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Everybody read verse 16. What are you seeing there? It's not just the name. And his name through faith in his name. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? And his name through faith in his name. Mean when you get to the point where you believe the name of Jesus. I don't just know it casually. I don't just know it religiously. I know that the name of Jesus has been exalted. Wherefore, listen. Have you ever asked yourself, why was God exalting him and giving him a name? Was his name not Jesus before? Was his name not Jesus before? It was because his name was just on the earth as a human being. But when he died and resurrected, you were in him. So he exalted the name far above all principalities. So that when you call on that name, everything must answer. Say after me, everything must answer.